KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy sky, 5 degrees below zero. We look for skies to be partly cloudy to cloudy this morning, with a chance of flurries, otherwise partly cloudy for the rest of the day, a high of only 8 above. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your trained home comfort specialist dealer. Officials of the Creston Police Department are reporting 7 recent arrests. At around 12:15 a.m. on Monday, 19-year-old Natalie Esslinger of Clarinda was arrested in Creston for interference with official acts. Esslinger was brought to the Ringgold County Jail and later released on a $300 bond. And at 4 a.m. on Christmas Day, 32-year-old Joseph Olson of Creston was arrested for public intoxication. He was later released on a promise to appear in court. On December 22nd, 21-year-old Garrett Stelkup of Creston was arrested at around 1:30 a.m. for OWI first offense. He was later released on a $1,000 bond. And at around 10:17 p.m. on the 22nd, 19-year-old Isaiah Foster of Creston was arrested on a Union County warrant for violation of probation on an original possession of controlled substance charge. Foster was later released from the jail on $1,000 bond. And there were 3 arrests in Creston on December 21st. At around 10 p.m., 53-year-old Scott Gilbert of Hawthorne, California, was arrested for disorderly conduct. He was later released on a $300 bond. 46-year-old Joy Mozina of Creston was arrested that date on a Union County warrant for violation of probation on an original driving while barred charge. And also arrested on the 21st was 31-year-old Courtney White of Creston. She was arrested on a warrant for violation of probation on an original charge of theft in the fourth degree. She remained in the Ringgold County Jail on $1,000 bond at last report. Elsewhere in state news, a state program that was launched this year to help save money for people with disabilities has already taken in many thousands of dollars in contributions. Under the program, parents and grandparents can donate tax-free to a fund that until the loved one with a disability reaches the age of 26. State Treasurer Mike Fitzgerald says the fund can then be tapped as the person and his or her caregiver grow older.
Now, you know, a lot of these folks that are disabled, maybe they're getting public assistance or whatever, they're cut off at $2,000. You can't have it or the government will grab it. Well, this allows them to save up to $100,000.
The program called IA Able, in other words, allows an account to be open for as little as $25. The program is modeled after College Savings Iowa, which allows a tax break for savings for college. The fund, which started in February, has already received $200,000 in contributions. Fitzgerald briefed Governor Kim Reynolds on the program during a recent budget hearing.
It's important to a lot of the parents and grandparents. You know, as you get later in life, what's going to happen to little Billy or whatever, or little Mary? And this is a program to help families deal with that issue.
Fitzgerald says Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley spearheaded enabling legislation for the program in Congress. Iowa is part of a 16-state coalition managing the contributions. You can find out more at www.iable.gov. State public health officials are trying to find out why 8 medical marijuana manufacturers did not apply to be the supplier in Iowa. In late November, Medfarm Iowa got the state license to grow marijuana and manufacture cannabis oil here. Iowa Department of Public Health Director Gerd Klebaugh says the law allowed only 2 licensed manufacturers.
Part of our application process allowed, it asked for companies, organizations to file with us a notice of intent to apply. So we had an early indication about who and how many applications we might receive. And in that part of the process, we received 9 letters.
But of the 9, Medfarm Iowa was the only company that completed the process and applied for a license.
We certainly were disappointed with that because we know the law allows up to 2, and we think there's some benefit to having multiple manufacturers. And so after the process was complete, we went back and we informally asked some of the companies that submitted letters but didn't apply why that was.
Klebaugh says they offered a variety of reasons, including sticker shock. Companies can expect to pay up to $200,000 in state fees to grow marijuana and then make cannabis oil. This spring, state officials will grant licenses to distributors. The first prescriptions for medical marijuana are to be filled in Iowa by December 1st of next year. Representative John Forbes, a Democrat from Urbandale, is a pharmacist. He says some estimates indicate it could cost the state as much as $1 million to oversee the program.
One of the things we want to try not to avoid doing is pricing ourselves out of the market by overburdening the companies that are going to get into this business by a bunch of fees, because when we do that, we're going to also have, they're going to have to pass those costs back on to consumers who are going to purchase medical cannabis here in the state.
Forbes and Claybaugh made their comments during an appearance on Iowa Public Television's Iowa Press program, which aired over the weekend. The Iowa Court of Appeals has overturned one conviction of an Osage man accused of sexually abusing a man and then attempting to kill him to keep him from testifying. Mark Redarath was found guilty of attempted murder, solicitation to commit murder, and sexual abuse. In October, he was sentenced to 35 years in prison, including 25 for attempted murder. Investigators say he planned to kill the victim with poison ricin after the man reported the sexual abuses. Prosecutors say Redarath got the ricin from a friend who had seen it on a television show called Breaking Bad. Last week, the appellate court ruled that there was no evidence Redarath's actions amounted to an actual assault for attempted murder, but did find substantial evidence for solicitation and sex abuse charges. A Dubuque man has pleaded not guilty to killing a woman who police say he had met just hours earlier. Court records say 36-year-old Michael Pianteri entered the plea last week in Dubuque County District Court in Dubuque. Court records say his trial on a charge of first-degree murder is scheduled to begin February 20th. Police say he killed 42-year-old Beverly Puccio, who was found dead inside of her home in late December 3rd. The court records say surveillance video showed Puccio and Pianteri at a bar December 2nd, and that they left about 8 p.m. in a cab that took them to her home. And the court records say that Pianteri denied going to Puccio's home. Just as Iowa crops require sunshine to grow, clean energy advocates say so does the state's economy. Part of the solar production tax credit for large utility-scale projects expired last year, and given Iowa's $133 million budget shortfall, there are concerns that state lawmakers will also allow the credit for small-scale and residential solar installation to fade away. Katie Rock with the Center for Rural Affairs notes that the state invested nearly $16 million in the credit between 2012 and 2016, leveraging more than $123 million in private solar energy system investment.
This is a fairly small tax credit. It's only like $4 or $5 million. And so it's something that Iowa can afford in return for more growth in renewable energy. Iowa's been a longtime leader in renewable energy, and we want to continue that for the state.
She says solar job growth topped 60% in Iowa from 2015 to 2016, and the industry now includes more than 560 full-time workers in 45 different companies. Rock says that solar energy is spurring innovation and returns in rural Iowa as farms and businesses invest in solar installations as a way to cut costs.
If you drive around rural Iowa, you can see some of these installations right next to the Hawk Building and the farm operation. And the top county for solar jobs is actually O'Brien County in northwest Iowa. So farms and businesses are a huge part of driving this growth in solar energy.
Rock notes that Iowa currently gets more than one-third of its electricity from wind power. With continued growth, she's convinced that advances in solar power could push Iowa to over 50% renewable clean energy. That's a check of the news brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Anson reporting.